Bowden headed northwest up a track to a ridge above his grazing pasture lands. He saw his herd there, ambling along the north boundary fence, and noted how healthy the calves looked despite the dry conditions. A team of flankers, wranglers responsible for keeping the calves restrained, would meet him there in a few hours to brand and doctor them. With the conditions being so dry, Bowden began to reconsider the branding. He drove across Pleasant Flats to the high bluffs and stopped when he reached the top. Bowden scanned the clear sky and saw no sign of smokes. Relieved, yet still uneasy, he headed back to the ranch for coffee and maybe some breakfast. He got the call on his cell shortly after he sat down to eat. It was a neighbor and fellow rancher.
"Did you know you've got smoke up in Adler's Divide?" he said, referring to the spot Bowden had just checked, and Bowden told him so. "Well, there's something there now," his neighbor informed him.
With one arm in his jacket, Bowden switched phone hands and slid his arm into the other sleeve, then adjusted the jacket over his shoulder holster while keeping his phone to his ear.
"I didn't go as far as Three Trails," he said, wondering if he should have. "I'm on it."
He was already across the porch and leaping down the steps at a run. Adrenaline pumping, Bowden jumped onto the quad and spun his worn baseball cap around backward. Dirt and gravel sprayed from the rear tires as they grabbed for traction, splattering the porch as he accelerated. He raced down the main road to the ranch and headed for a better vantage point near the highway. Bowden's attention swiveled from the road to the ridgeline off to his left. He slammed on the brakes, skidded sideways to a stop, and faced up to a thin column of smoke drifting into the sky from behind a ridge. He did not need the binoculars, but his right hand went to the leather case, freed the clasp, and pulled them out. An untrained eye might have thought it was smoke from a chimney on a calm day, but Bowden knew better. He immediately called dispatch. They had heard about the fire, but did not have an exact location. He gave them that and the name of the road that passed close below it.
"If a crew meets me at the ranch," Criswell told the dispatcher, "I can drive them to within a short hike of the fire start."
He figured that would be about a 30-minute trip from their nearby fire service compound. Next, he made a call to the flankers and set them to rounding up the herd and driving them closer to the ranch. Later, records showed the call to the dispatcher, but the message about the fire was not passed on. No hand crews were available, so an aerial assault was scheduled. Crews and resources were misdirected as the number of fires in the area increased. Hours passed, and valuable time was lost. Each time they thought they had the fire moving the way they wanted, a freakish gust of wind stole it. The fire flared past them into a draw, up the steep sides and away. It was one of hundreds of fires that were underestimated, until it was too late. A small team of firefighters arrived at the Criswell Ranch, and Bowden drove the four men up the road to the base of the ridge, where they still had an hour's hike to the fire. Temperatures were rising and the humidity falling. Overhead, tankers dropped fire retardant. Before the day was half done, high, erratic winds grounded the air assault. At the quad, Bowden watched a young firefighter pull a psychrometer from his belt weather kit to measure the relative humidity in the atmosphere. The firefighter explained that the instrument operated on the principle that dry air enhanced evaporation.
"This will help me calculate the likelihood that flying embers will start a new fire," he explained.
The firefighter fell silent as he stared at the device's calculations. Bowden asked him what the readings indicated.
"I'm not sure what to say. I've never seen this level before."
"What does that mean?" Criswell asked.
The firefighter looked around with deep concern and more than a touch of fear across his furrowed brow. He removed his hat and wiped his forehead with his sleeve.
"If you throw 10 matches on the ground, 8 or 9 will start a fire."
At that moment, a gust of wind swirled hard around them. Both shielded their eyes as bits of debris pelted and stung. The firefighter shook it off, but looked more worried as dust devils spun away from them. He glanced at Bowden.
"We don't have enough men,"